This morning's scripture reading is from, where am I? Mark 4, 35 through 41. Okay, let us pray. God of eternity, by the power of your Spirit, speak your word to us this day, that hearing, we may know your truth and live ever more faithfully. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. On that day, when evening had come, he said to them, "Let us go across to the other side." And leaving the crowd behind, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was. Other boats were with him. Then a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat, so the boat was already being swamped. But he was in the stern, asleep on a cushion. They woke him up and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" He woke up and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." Then the wind ceased and there was a dead calm. He said to them, "Why are you afraid? Have you still no faith?" And they were filled with great awe and said to one another, "Who then is this, even that the wind and the sea obey him?" This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
So we've picked up, this morning, we've picked up immediately where we left off in Mark's gospel last week. Jesus, if you remember, Jesus has been teaching in parables. He's been inviting us into the unfolding and growing kingdom of God that has come near in him. And if we go back a little further to the beginning of chapter 4, before he starts teaching these parables, or right when he begins teaching those parables, some of which we looked at last week, we see that he has been teaching these parables there at the sea from a boat. And the sea here being the Sea of Galilee. And now in this morning's passage, he says to his disciples, "Let us go across to the other side of the sea." And so they're in the boat, heading across. A big storm shows up. It's scary. They don't know what's going on. So the disciples wake Jesus up, and Jesus calms the storm and tells them not to be afraid. And we get it, right? Jesus is powerful. He takes the scary stuff away. And so if we just have enough faith, we'll see that there's nothing to be afraid of. And the disciples are amazed and astounded, and everything is great. I think that's kind of what we tend to take from passages like this. And it's good and nice and tidy and all that. In fact, I had a nice, neat sermon kind of about that. A little more nuance in there, of course, but still, a nice, neat sermon. Jesus calms our storms. It was a nice, neat sermon. I do most of my sermon writing early in the week, and so I was good, done, I can move on to some other stuff. But I kept chewing on this passage. The storm, the wind and the waves. It's a great windstorm, it says. Waves crashing all around and all that. But this is a hardy group in the boat. Right? There's a good handful of seasoned veteran fishermen, people who live their lives in boats out on the sea, that are there in the boat on this day. This isn't their first rodeo, their first storm at sea, and they're thinking, "This is it. We're going to die." They use the word perishing or we're being destroyed. Hardy, seasoned veteran fishermen, people who live their lives out on the sea, are terrified. Not because they don't know what's going on. I think they're terrified precisely because they do. It's not the fear of the unknown there in the boat on the sea that has them so scared, but it's the fear of the known. They looked upon the storm and the wind and the waves, and they were afraid because they knew what they were dealing with. Their experience told them. They knew this was something to be afraid of. Their fears were justified. That began to chew on me. And then Jesus, this whole time, he's asleep. Jesus is asleep. When Ezra was a baby, Rachel used to get really annoyed with me because I would sleep through the wailing and the chaos, right? Chaos would be going all around and I'd be sleeping through it. I'm getting a look. She still remembers. And I can tell this is not a unique experience. Am I correct in that? Yeah, I'm getting some very firm nods of yes. Yes, Jesus is asleep. I find that kind of odd. Not that Jesus sleeps, but that he's sleeping at this particular moment. And the disciples are like, do you not care? Do you not see what is going on? Do you not see the danger that we are in, the danger that we continue to move into? So what happens? Jesus wakes up, rebukes the wind, and says to the sea, well, it's not actually so much peace that he says. That would be a nice, neat, and tidy, that would fit a nice, neat story about how there's nothing actually to be afraid of. But what Jesus says, what he says is actually more like, shut up. I'm going to go with be quiet for the rest of the sermon because I would always get in trouble with my mom if I ever said shut up. So I'm not going to say it in church. So Jesus rebukes the wind and says to the sea, be quiet. Be still. Or again, Jesus is actually a little harsher here. He uses the word for muzzle. Be muzzled. Muzzle yourself. That's what he says. The word there, think of a wild animal snarling and snapping, and so you have to physically put a muzzle on it to be safe. This is not Jesus hitting the snooze bar to silence the alarm so he can get 10 more minutes of sleep. This is Jesus actively muzzling and restraining the chaos of the wind and the sea that is raging all around and threatening the boat and all of those in it. And we've met rebuking, muzzling Jesus before. Way back in chapter 1, the first detail that Mark gives us about Jesus' public ministry. He's in the synagogue, and there's a man with an unclean spirit. And Jesus rebukes the spirit and then tells the spirit to be quiet. It's the same word for muzzle. Interesting. So I began to find myself chewing on this. Jesus rebukes and muzzles the storm and the wind and the waves. I don't think you do that if there's nothing to be afraid of. And the great storm becomes a great calm. And Jesus turns to his disciples and says, why are you afraid? It's more like, why are you timid? Jesus isn't using that main word for fear that we might be familiar with, phobos, the word where we get the word phobia, kind of the main word for fear. That's not what Jesus used. What he uses is one that's more like, why are you timid? Why are you cowardly? Have you still no? Do you not yet have faith, have trust? And the disciples were filled with, well, the word awe, again, is a little too timid here. Because this is the word for fear, phobos. And it says they weren't just filled with fear. It says they feared with great fear. It uses the word twice, once as a verb and once as a noun. They're not looking at Jesus and what he's done to the wind and the waves and saying, after all this has happened, and saying, wow, that was awesome. No, they're looking at what just happened, at what had gone on and what Jesus had done, and they're saying, what in the world have we gotten ourselves into? Who is this that even the wind and the sea obey him, that submit, they submit to him, they are subject to him? Who is this? And what have we gotten ourselves into? The disciples start off afraid they were going to die, and they end up more terrified. And that's how this story ends. We are left with the disciples and all their questions and fears. This is not as nice and neat a story as we sometimes like to make it out to be. And so my nice, neat sermon about not having anything to fear because Jesus began to fall apart as I kept chewing on this throughout the week. And then just a couple days ago, I realized it wasn't so much I was continuing to chew on this passage as this passage was chewing on me. Why did Jesus call them timid when clearly they were in a terrifying situation? And why were they more afraid at the end than at the beginning when it was a big storm threatening their boat and their lives? And why was Jesus sleeping? So here's my confession. I may or may not have a nice, neat, tidy, polished sermon for us this morning. I guess time will tell. The next few minutes will tell. But I know I've got some questions and some what-ifs for us this morning. What if? What if this is not a story about how there's nothing to fear, but rather a story about courage in the midst of fearful things? They're going to the other side. The other side of what? Well, the other side of the Sea of Galilee. What does that have to do with anything? Well, they had been on the side of the sea that was predominantly Jewish. And now they're heading to the other side, to the side that is predominantly Gentile. From one place and calling of ministry, they are now being called to journey through something to get to the next place of ministry and calling. They're going where they're supposed to go. And this brings them into... well, it brings them into things to be afraid of. Scary things. Not that they were to be afraid of the people or cultures that they were heading into or the people that are different. It wasn't the destination that was scary. It was the journey there. It was getting there that things got scary. What if this is not a story about how there's nothing to fear, but rather a story about how going with Jesus to where Jesus wants us to be is sometimes, and maybe more than sometimes, the journey to get there is scary? That it does bring us into and through places where fear might actually be justified, where there are things to be afraid of. Or at least to have fear about. What if that's what's going on here? All throughout the scriptures, time and again, is the command. It's commanded, I think, more than anything else. It's definitely up there. Do not fear. Or some version of that. Fear not, right? I think if you read the King James here, fear not. Do not fear. Which on one hand is odd, if not an absurd thing to command. Because fear is one of those things that just happens, right? It's a feeling. It's an emotion that sometimes it shows up. It just is. And so how in the world can you be commanded to not have that happen? Like when you're in the boat in the middle of the sea and a great storm shows up and the waves are coming over the sides and all that, right? Having the emotion of fear makes a lot of sense. How can you not have that? But, and y'all know this about me, I love language and the way language works and the way it doesn't work and all the ways it can be played around with and all sorts of things like that. And in those commands, the word for fear is a verb, not a noun. And that may sound like a small, silly thing, But I don't think it is. Because that means the command is not, don't have this noun, don't experience this noun, this emotion of fear. But rather, the command is, do not let it become a verb. Do not let it act on you and in you and through you. Because fear as a noun is normal and makes a lot of sense sometimes. But when it becomes our way of being, and so Jesus is here in the boat saying, not why are you experiencing this emotion of fear, but he's saying, why are you timid? And what if that's at least part of what the disciples realize here at the end? What if, yes, the power displayed by Jesus and the fact that even the wind and the sea obey him and are subject to him, what if that, yes, it's awe-inspiring and a little like, whoa, that's some intense stuff I'm standing near, but what if it is also that the disciples are realizing, oh my goodness, even the wind and the waves obey him. And he might be calling me to go places where I'm going to have fear. And he might be calling me to go in and through places that mean I have to act with courage nonetheless. And so what if Jesus was sleeping? Because he was curious if they would. If he was letting them grow, if this was part of their discipleship. Not too much after this, he sends them out by themselves, or two by two, but without him, he sends them out into the world. So what if this was part of their discipleship? And Jesus was curious and wondering, I wonder. Right, in much the same way as when you're learning to ride a bike, at some point your parents have to let go of the bike. Still there. And you might need them to grab on again a few short seconds later, but then you go again. Jesus, yes, was asleep. Not because he didn't care or didn't know what was going on. He's Jesus. But maybe he was asleep because he did care. And he did know what was going on, and he was wondering. And notice this. That the disciples, timidity? Is that a word? Yeah. It is? Okay, good. All right. Thank you, Jackie. Notice that their timidity, I can say that with confidence now, that their timidity, what he even calls their lack of faith, their lack of trust, did not stop Jesus from giving them what they needed. We live in a culture, we live in a social climate, a political climate, and yes, even a church climate that tries to get us to be afraid of a lot of things, to be afraid of a lot of things. Be afraid of different cultures. Be afraid of society and neighborhoods changing. Be afraid of the churches that do this or that speak about justice, or churches that ask us to take seriously personal sin, or churches that ask us to take seriously corporate or systemic sin. Goodness, even be afraid of having questions about scripture and faith and all sorts of things. We live in a world that asks us, that tries to get us to be afraid of a lot of things. A lot of money is made, a lot of ratings are had, a lot of power is handed over, and a lot of kingdom work is left undone when we are convinced we need to be afraid. But that is not the gospel. Time and again, God speaks and says, do not be afraid. Do not let your fear become a verb. The gospel. We can even say that the first and the last word of the gospel is in some way, do not be afraid. At the foretelling of Jesus' birth to Mary, the word of the angel, what does the angel say? First, right off the bat, do not be afraid. And at the announcement of Jesus' birth there in the fields to the shepherds, the first word of the angel announcing the birth of Jesus is what? Do not be afraid. And then, there, when the tomb is discovered empty, what is the first word of the angel? Do not be be afraid. Not because there are not storms or winds or waves, but simply because from beginning to end, Jesus is with you. And so we are called not to never experience fear, but to have courage. Because sometimes, maybe even more than sometimes, we are called not away from, but through the wind and the waves, through the storms. Not because Jesus isn't with us, but maybe precisely because he is. If you are in a stormy place, if it feels like the winds are just having their way with you, or if it feels like the waves are crashing all around and even coming up over the side, if it feels like you are in the middle of a chaotic sea, and boy, we have had a chaotic sea of the past 14, 15 months, collectively, and I know many of us individually, for a variety of reasons, work-related, family-related, health-related, whatever it is. If it feels like you are in the middle of a chaotic sea, it is okay to feel and experience fear. But have courage. Have courage. Because Jesus is with you in the boat. And his gospel, his good news, his kingdom is true. I'm not sure that I have a nice, neat, and tidy wrap-up for this morning. I offer this as things that have been chewing on me through this passage this week. This passage is still chewing on me. Perhaps maybe we just need to let it chew on us together for a bit. And together, have courage. Have courage to stay in the boat with Jesus. Through the storms and the winds and the waves. Into the storms and the winds and the waves. And to have courage. The courage even to cry out to him when our courage falls short. For who indeed is this? That even the wind and the sea obey him. And so because no one goes home humming the sermon, I invite us to now hear this next hymn. When
you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and the waves will not overcome you. Do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name, you are mine, for I am the Lord your God. I am the Lord your God. I am the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. For I am the Lord your God. I am the Lord your God. I am the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I am the Lord. I am the Lord. Name, you are mine. God. I am the Lord your God. I am the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. For I am the Lord your God. I am the Lord your God. I am the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. Do not fear.